Our Bibles over to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, we'll read verses 1 through 18. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah and the father of the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. And Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken to Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand, and he went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, and drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem good, or if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word today. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time, that your spirit would be in control, and you would work in each of our hearts, Lord. And, Lord, I know that I can do nothing of myself. I need you, Lord, desperately, and I just pray, Lord, that you would help me now. Speak clearly and to to speak forth your word in an understandable way, and I pray that your spirit would just do the work that's needed here today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapters 23 and chapter 24, Joshua is preaching his last message, last charge to the nation of Israel. They had gone through many victories. They'd crossed the Jordan River together. They had defeated Jericho. They had defeated all the other places there in the land of Canaan, all the other people. And they had great victories, one after another. And they had one temporary defeat in Ai. That was just temporary. They did finally defeat them as well. So God blessed them in a great way. And then after that, Joshua divided up the land and gave inheritance to each of the 12 tribes. And then in these last two chapters here, Joshua gives a final charge to the people before they are all sent to their own places, to their own inheritance. And back in chapter 23, verse 8, for example, he says, "But cleave unto the Lord, your God, as ye have done unto this day." You know, he says, look what God's done. You have cleaved unto the Lord for these 5 years while we've been having these victories throughout the land of Canaan. And now that you're going to your own inheritance, continue to cleave unto the Lord. He gets down here in chapter 24 then, after all these admonitions and talking about all the blessings and all that God has done for them and everything. And he finally, in verse 15, he says, "And if it seem good unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Moses said something similar to that a few years before that. Actually said it to this same generation, but when they were still on the other side of Jordan. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Moses said to the people, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So in both these cases, both Moses and Joshua, what they're telling the people to do is to make a choice. We all have to make choices. Now, those choices that we make are sometimes big choices, sometimes small choices. We make small choices every day. For example, what dress will you put on, or what shirt will you put on this morning? What to fix for dinner, you know? Just little, maybe we would think incidental choices. Or going, do I go shopping today or do I go shopping tomorrow? Or you might make a choice whether to pray that day or not. Or read your Bible that day or not. Those aren't exactly small choices. Those are pretty big choices, by the way. But we do make daily choices, don't we? And sometimes we think that those are insignificant. Sometimes those choices, however, become very significant in the long run. a husband and wife, before they got married, decided that he'd make all the major decisions and she the minor ones. And after 20 years of marriage, he was asked how the arrangement was coming. And he said, "Great. All these years, I've never had to make a major decision." So, she made them all, I guess. But then there are big choices that we make. There are big choices. Choices that affect us for years to come. Our friendships, for example. You might not think those are big choices, but they really are. Friends can influence us to a great degree. Friendships are really a big choice. Where you're going to live, that's a pretty big choice. What church you're going to attend, that's a pretty big choice. What occupation are you going to pursue, that's a pretty big choice. And then there's a lifelong choice that we make, some of us. And I thought about this for a while. Now, how many different lifelong choices are there? I can only think of one. You know what it is? Who can tell me what it is? Come on. What is it, Sarah?
Marriage,
that's right. That's a lifelong choice. Unfortunately, in our culture today, it doesn't look that way, but that's, according to the Word of God, it is a lifelong choice. We need to be careful about our choices, especially the big ones. Young people, be careful. You know, you're better off to be single your whole life than to marry the wrong person. You hear what I said, young people? I hope you all paid attention to that. You say, oh, I don't know, I'm getting pretty old. I'm 17, 18, 19 years old. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I'm really worried about it. And maybe some of you are older than that. You still aren't married, and you wonder, oh, well, I want to tell you something. Don't fret about it. It's all in God's hands. You let God take care of it. You know? If God wants you to get married, He'll bring the right person. You just be sensitive to God's will, and don't be in a hurry to make a choice that you'll regret the rest of your life. Lifelong choices. And then there is eternal choices. Choices that we make in this life that will affect us for eternity. Now that is the really big choices. That's the ones that really count. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. We want to analyze our text, verse 15, a little bit here. First of all, and just look at some phrases in there that I think would deserve some looking at. Back to verse 15 again, Joshua 24:15. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord." You know, there's a misconception today that serving God is a miserable life. I want to tell you, there's nothing miserable about it. Nothing miserable about it. Now, it might be hard sometimes, but it's not miserable. What are some of the misunderstandings about it seeming evil to serve God? Well, one is that people misunderstand the character of God, who God is. See, God is a loving, good God, and He means good for us, always. Romans 8:28, still in the Bible. He always means good for us. So understanding the character, they misunderstand the character of God. They also misunderstand the blessings of serving God. The joy and peace that comes from being in the center of God's will. Anybody here can testify to that? Huh? Raise your hand if you can. Yeah, amen. There is just a joy and peace in that that doesn't come any other way. Another misunderstanding is people fear the inevitable sacrifices and hardships which it might involve. Remember the parable of the seed that was sown on four different kinds of ground? Seed that was sown on the stony ground. The sun came up and scorched the plant, it withered and it died. And Jesus explained that as some people received the word quickly. But then when trials and tribulation and sacrifice and hardship comes, they fall away. So, but there is a fear of the inevitable sacrifice. But I want to tell you something. The sacrifices can be a blessing. The sacrifices and the hardships, we can see joy and God's goodness and God's blessings in those if we'll go into them with the right attitude. That God is always good and he's always looking out for us. He always wants good for us. A fourth thing that people misunderstanding they have is that they fear losing their affection for the sinful things that they're going to have to abandon. They just don't, they can't quite handle that. You know, they love their sin too much, and they just don't want to let go of that. And so it's just, this will be a miserable life if I turn to the Lord. This will be a miserable life if I serve God. And because I won't be able to do all the fun things, fun in quotes, okay, sinful things that I like to do. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And then a fifth thing is, and probably this is maybe one of the biggest ones, a lingering affection for the pleasures of this world. In America, that's a big one. That's a big one. There are so many pleasures of this world that we enjoy every day. And we think we might have to give some of those up if we serve God. So we say, so Joshua says to the people, if it seem evil unto you to serve God, so he's kind of getting ahead of them and entering into their thinking that, yeah, they're going to be thinking that this is, it's evil to serve God, so I'm going to address this right up front. If it seem evil unto you to serve God, choose you this day and we'll serve. So the next point is choose you. Just those two words. God has given us as human beings the ability to be free agents, to make our own choices. He says to choose you. Joshua is not forcing them to make to serve God. You see, he's handing it out here. He has preached this message, this final message to them, all the benefits of serving God, and all the cursings of turning away from God. And then he, at the end of his message now, he says, now, you make the choice. You make the choice. This is a little different than Islam. They put a gun to your head and you say, okay, you convert to Islam or else. Well, we don't do that, do we? God doesn't do that. It's your choice. You can be presented with all the pros and cons. You can be presented with the blessings of that God has for you in this life, plus the blessings of heaven forever and ever and ever, and dwelling in absolute paradise throughout eternity. Or on the other hand, you can have all the consequences of sin in this life, and there are plenty of consequences. And then at the end of this life, without dying without Christ, you can go to a devil's hell and you can burn for eternity in hell. Now those are two choices. Choose you, he says. And I think that we need to say the same thing here today too. Choose you. What are you going to choose? The choice is yours. Then he says, choose you this day. What does that mean? It means you need to do it now. You need to do it today. Choices have to be made. And better off to be made sooner than later. You ever drive, you're on the freeway, you're driving along, and you're kind of half lost, and you're not too sure which exit to take. And you think maybe you should take the exit, but you're not sure. And so you straddle the white line, you know, on the exit line. And there you can't make your decision. You can't decide whether to take the exit or not take the exit. And you're straddling the white line, and pretty soon that white line turns into a divider. It's kind of a hard divider, you know. Well, there's consequences for not making choices. You can say, I don't want to make a choice. That's a choice in itself. Okay. People think they can choose somewhere between heaven and hell. There's no place like that. There's no choice between heaven and hell. You choose one or the other. See? People don't want to train their kids. They just don't want to make those decisions of when to spank or when not to spank or, you know, how to train and so forth. They don't want to make those decisions, so they ignore their kids. Well, they've made a choice. They've made a choice to raise a bunch of hoodlums. If you procrastinate making a choice, sometimes somebody else will make the choice for you. Former President Ronald Reagan, when he was a boy, his aunt took him to a shoe cobbler to get a new pair of shoes. The cobbler asked young Reagan, "Do you want square toes or round toes?" Unable to decide, Reagan didn't answer. So the cobbler gave him a few days. And a few days later, the cobbler saw Reagan on the street and asked him again, what kind of toes do you want on your shoes? Reagan still couldn't decide. So the shoemaker just replied, "Well, come in a couple days and your shoes will be ready." When the future president did so, he found one square-toed shoe and one round-toed shoe. And the shoe cobbler said, "This will teach you never to let people make decisions for you." The cobbler said this in his indecisive, to his indecisive customer. Reagan said, "I learned right then and later, if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will." Well, sometimes that happens. But more often than not, we just fail to make a choice. But that is a choice in itself. To put off choosing salvation is a choice in itself. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, "Wherefore, as the as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. Somebody might be sitting here today and you listen to the preaching, maybe week after week. And maybe you've been under conviction a few times about getting saved. But every time you say no, your heart gets a little bit harder. And it gets a little easier for you to say no next time. That's why it says today. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not some other day. Today is the day of salvation. You have to make a choice. Every person in this room, if there's someone in this room that's not saved today, I don't know if there is or not, but if there is, and you walk out the door without receiving Christ as your Savior, you have made a choice. You've chosen to reject Him. And the consequences of that are unbelievable. More than we can understand. Then it goes on to say, choose you this day. I got to read the text here. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served. So here's the alternate choice. You can serve God, you can accept God, or you can follow the gods of this world. Basically what it amounts to. What are the gods of this world? Well, in America, the gods of this world are such things as lust, money and prosperity, pleasure, play, sports, hobbies, popularity, beauty. Young ladies, you stand in front of the mirror and look how beautiful you are for hours. That's your god. Drugs, alcohol, or self. You're your own god. What god are you going to choose? You must make a choice. You cannot walk out of these doors today without making a choice. You must either choose to serve God or choose to serve something else, some other god. And by the way, all the other gods are the gods of this world, and the god of this world is the devil. It goes on to say, Joshua goes on to say, but as for me, now he's going to tell you who he's going to how he's going to choose. But as for me, Joshua is the first one to step out and make the choice, he's saying here. Now Joshua is the leader, and that is a characteristic of a true leader. He is going to make the choice whether anybody else follows him or not. Joshua is going to choose to serve God. Leaders often make that choice, and they make it with the possibility of having to do it all alone. See? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. A leader is willing to go it alone. Jesus spoke about the broad road. Many there be which go in thereat, and the narrow road. Few there be that find it. And everybody's going on the broad road. I mean, you're going along with everybody else. It's the easy way. The narrow way is a little tougher. And you might have to go it alone. There are not very many people going in there. It's a narrow way. You might have to go it alone. So Joshua says, but as for me. Also, your example may well inspire others to make the right choice. And I really think that was what Joshua had in mind. And then he goes on to say, but as for me and my house, men, listen, we must be the spiritual leaders in our homes. We must decide for our families that we're going to serve God. Now, we can't choose for our children to receive Christ. I understand that. They have to make that choice themselves. But we can create an environment for them, so that will very likely happen. Okay? And that comes from being a spiritual leader in your home. Teaching your children the Word of God daily. And just setting that spiritual environment in the home. So Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think Joshua's family already respected his leadership, and there was no question in Joshua's mind that they would follow him. Are you that kind of a leader in your home? Does your family, they respect your leadership to the point, men, to where you say, kids, we're going to church today. Yeah, I know there's something fun to do out there, but we're going to church today. Do they respect your leadership to say, yep, we sure are. You know, yeah. Now I'd like to give you a few more thoughts about making choices. It's kind of beyond what our text is here, but just some things that I think the Lord showed me. First of all, choices are our sole responsibility. The choices we make are our own responsibility. We can't blame anybody else. We can't blame our parents. We can't blame our husband or our wife. You know, we make a bad choice. We can't blame someone else. We can't blame the circumstances. We can't blame, I had such a hard time and nothing is going right for me and I have my whole life is made out of Mondays, you know. No. We can't blame the circumstances. We can't blame the devil even. Eleanor Roosevelt said this, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. Listen, every choice that you make, the good choices and the bad choices, you're the one that's responsible for it. You can't blame it on anybody else. And then secondly, choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. Reaping, sowing and reaping is still in the Bible, isn't it? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. My mother used to say something to me, and I didn't know where she got this from. I just thought it was her own idea. But she said, if you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. And I just thought that was her saying, you know, until I read it in the Bible one time. And, oh, that's where she got it from. Okay, that's in Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. What's the Bible trying to tell us here? God's trying to tell us that when we make choices, those choices are going to have long-lasting effects on our lives. Whatever we're going through in our life today is probably a result of some choices we made back there somewhere. Okay? And what we're going to go through in our life in the future is probably because of the choices that we're making today. Some of us would like to reverse the choices that we have made in the past. Amen? Anybody want to say amen to that?
Yeah.
Some of us, this preacher, would like to go back to when he was a teenager and remake some choices that I made. Okay? Why? Because I'm suffering the consequences from some of those choices today. How many years is that? 60 years later. See? Choices have consequences. We learn that from early on in childhood that indeed choices do have consequences. Your child gets spanked for disobedience. He makes a choice to disobey. He gets a spanking, right? All right, he's learning that there's consequences for bad choices. By the way, if he's not learning that, you better check your parenting skills, because there's something wrong there. Okay. But even beyond that, that little toddler toddles over to a hot stove, puts his hand on a hot stove. He immediately learns that there are consequences for the choice that he just made, doesn't he? Yeah. You hit your brother. And your brother turns around and clobbers you. You just learned that there are consequences for the choices you made. See? Now, that's a natural thing in growing up that we learn that. But for some reason, I don't know whether we forget it or we want to ignore it or we don't want to admit it or whatever. But as we become adults, teenagers and adults, we seem to think that that doesn't count anymore. Teenagers, listen to me. It counts. It counts like putting your hand on a hot stove. It counts like when your mom or dad spanked you. It counts like when your brother hit you and clobbered you because you pestered him. You make choices as teenagers that will affect your life, and it will affect, sometimes will affect your life for all of your life. You be careful about the choices you make, kids. They're serious. It's serious business. Don't take choices lightly. Teenage girl flattered because some guy thinks she's pretty. And things go on, and she becomes pregnant. Now listen to me, kids. Yeah, we're kind of protected around here. Maybe we don't know about this kind of stuff very much, okay? So I understand. I'll be careful. But then this girl, she has a baby out of wedlock. No. The father, he's gone. You know, he's out of the picture. So now she's got this baby. And assuming she didn't abort it. And now, you know, she still thinks she's really pretty and everything. And she's just, you know, you see him down at Walmart. Maybe one kid. One little baby. A toddler. And the girl is still dressed very immodestly and seductively, you know. And she's trying to attract another guy. And pretty soon, sure enough, she has another baby. And that father's gone too. Now she's got two. And maybe it happens a third time. I see the same ones a few years later down there at Walmart. Now they got three little ones. She's got three little ones. And she's tearing her hair out and her hair's all messed up and she's got her clothes aren't very clean and she's overweight and she just looks like a slob, you know. And she's just a mess. And she's given up on this thing. Being pretty thing, you know. That didn't work. And she's yelling at her kids, screaming at her kids. She's just about ready to tear her out. And she's got to live with that for years. Oh, there are consequences for the choices we make. Somebody takes a young person, tries a little beer, you know. Take that first can of beer. Oh, a little bit's not going to hurt me, and just I'll look good to my friends and everything. But fast forward ahead 10 or 15 or 20 years, and that same person, that same guy, he's living on the street. He's an alcoholic. He doesn't have a place to sleep at night, and he doesn't have any food to eat, and he's begging for enough money to go buy a little bit more booze. There are consequences for the choices we make. Or the young person decides, "Oh, I'm gonna try smoking. I'm gonna smoke a cigarette. It isn't gonna hurt anything. I'll just smoke one." Why don't you go to the hospital sometime? Like I did one night. I spent a night in the hospital with a man who was a respiratory therapist and kind of followed him around that night. Patient after patient dying of emphysema because they spent a lifetime smoking. Or other patients dying of lung cancer. There are consequences for the choices we make. Somebody says, "Oh, I'm just going to try a little." By the way, you say, "Man, you're preaching to the choir here. Why are you preaching about this kind of stuff?" This is a warning, okay? I'm just warning. I'm telling you, there is plenty of temptations out there, and I know that you're being raised in a protective environment and Christian homes and all this, but I want to tell you something. You're not always going to be at home. One day you're going to be out on your own, and you're going to be making more choices for yourself, and you need to be careful about the friends you keep and about the choices you make, because there are consequences for it. Somebody tries a little marijuana. "Oh, it's legal now, so it must be okay." Hogwash. That doesn't make it okay. Since when did making it legal make it okay? Just as deadly as ever. You see that same person who tried a little marijuana years later on hard stuff, on heroin. Heroin addict. There are choices. Choices have consequences. Somebody said, "He who chooses the beginning of a road chooses the place it leads to. It is the means that determine the end." Just remember, the broad way leads to destruction. I'm probably about out of time, but there are so many examples of people in the Bible who made choices, some bad choices, some good choices. Adam and Eve made a choice, didn't they? To eat of the forbidden fruit. there were consequences for that. They died, and all of mankind dies because of sin. Pretty serious consequence. Lot made a choice. He stood on the well. He stood on the hill overlooking the well-watered plain of Jordan. He saw riches and wealth down there. He made a choice to move his family down there. And all the wealth that he got as he was living there in Sodom all got burned up. Have you ever noticed that, you know, Satan has his bait. It's always some good thing he holds out there. But I want to tell you something. He doesn't even let us keep the bait. You know, once he hooks us, he doesn't even let us keep the bait. Lost all of his possessions. Burned up in the fire of Sodom. Lost his family. His wife turned to a pillar of salt, and two married daughters died in the fires of Sodom, and the other two daughters committed incest with their father. There are consequences for our choices. David stood in a window of his castle, looked out the window of his castle, and lusted after a woman. And David made a choice. A choice that had consequences for the rest of his life in his family. His family fell apart. Jonah stood on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea and made a choice. He chose to go to Nineveh instead of obey the will of God and go to Nineveh. And he was swallowed by a whale. Solomon made a choice to follow the idolatrous practices of his pagan wives, and for generations to come, idolatry cursed the nation of Israel. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, made a choice to listen to the younger men instead of the older, wiser men. And the kingdom was divided. On the other hand, we see in Moses' life and Joshua's life that they made some good choices. And we see that God blessed them and God gave victory in their lives. You see, not only are there bad consequences for bad choices, but there are also good consequences for good choices. I've made plenty of bad choices that I have suffered for, but I made one good choice once. Actually, I probably made more than one. I made one good choice when I accepted Christ. Amen. When I was 17 years old. And I've known the Lord now for over 50 years. About that, I guess. 50 some. I made a good choice there. I'm going to heaven because I made that choice. I had a heart attack a few years ago. I laid there on the floor. I really believed I was dying. God gave me perfect peace because I knew I was going to heaven. No problem. I was ready. That choice I made me ready for heaven. And if you aren't saved today, you need to make that choice today so you can be ready for heaven no matter what comes. Another good choice I made a few years later. I I was kind of backslidden. I was out of church, not going to church. My brother Doug came and he talked to me. He helped me pour concrete. We were both down on our hands and knees pouring concrete, finishing concrete, you know. What a great position to have a guy in. You want to talk to him about spiritual things, you know. And he did. And he told me, he said, Larry, you know, you got a little boy now. Tyler was the little guy then. And you have a responsibility. Get your family in church. Start serving God. And you know what? I made a choice right then. I chose to listen to him. And I chose to do what he told me to do. And in the weeks ahead, we found that little Baptist church down here in Rainier. Jared's grandfather was a pastor. We started going there. And God began to work on my life. And we were having kids about every year and a half. Family was growing. But guess what? My kids are all in church today. My kids are all serving God. I believe my kids are all saved. And most of my grandkids. Because of a choice I made about 50 years ago. So there are bad consequences for bad choices, but folks, there are good consequences for good choices. I hope you listen to me today. I believe the devil didn't want me to preach this sermon today. I want to tell you a little experience I had last night. I was very, very depressed last evening when I was trying to prepare this message. I don't often get that depressed. And I don't know why. Everything just felt like it was just coming in on me. I went to bed depressed. I prepared this message depressed, if you can imagine. Okay? I went to bed depressed. I slept for a few hours and I woke up still depressed. I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was in a spiritual battle I haven't experienced for a long time. I wanted to quit. I thought about turning in my resignation in today. I mean, that's how bad I was. How depressed I was. And I began to pray. I began to plead the blood of Christ. I began to do some spiritual battle. And God brought me through it. I don't know if somebody else was praying for me during the night or not. I sort of felt like maybe they were, but it was a tough night. But God is good. And God came through.
Amen.
And God always will come
Yes.
through.
Praise
Amen. I so much want the Spirit of God to be in our church and to move upon our people and for us to make the right choices to serve God. And if anyone is here that isn't saved today, oh, I plead with you, make the right choice today to turn to Christ. Now is the time to make choices for eternity. Today. Because in eternity, you will not have an opportunity to make a choice. For your eternal destiny will be sealed forever and ever and ever. Today, you need to make the choice for Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this important principle that we've talked about today. Choices are so important. We make them so flippantly sometimes. Lord, every choice we make is important. And especially, Lord, the eternal choices. Father, I pray that you'd bless the invitation time now. I pray that you would work in people's hearts, that we'd do business with you. In Jesus' name, amen.